The average man in America has less than one true friend. In 2023, the Surgeon General said, we are facing a loneliness epidemic. I want to change that. You don't have to be alone. Dude, you need a friend. A friend who can help you make better choices, move with more of who you are, and live a better, fuller life for yourself and the world around you. I believe we can change the world if we can change friendship. This is the 7 Daily Choices Friendship Project Podcast. And that's what we're doing. Hey guys, so here we go. This is our first interview inside what is becoming our studio. It's going to take a little time. So we're working on sound quality and we're working on the look and all of those things. So give us some time. We're still here in the early stages of this podcast, but I hope you enjoyed this interview with my friend, Dave Henman. So, hey.
Hey.
This is our first interview here in the studio.
Yes.
Studio.
This is a great studio. I love it. It's changed since I was in here last. It looks good. Looking better. Yep.
Thanks.
Good job.
So for all of our people who are listening to the podcast, both of them.
we appreciate you too. Yeah. That's for sure. So
at this point, can you just kind of share who you are so they know kind of who you are and what you do and your life?
Well, Dave Henman, and we've been associates for some time now. I was not born and raised in Wilmington, but been here for over 50 years. So people think I'm born and raised here, and my wife has been. Worked 32 years for a utility company and was doing ministry at the same time. And then when I retired there, I went into full-time ministry for about 10 years and then retired there as well, but still continue on a volunteer basis doing much of what I did those 10 years. So yeah, got a couple kids, 4 grandkids, keep us hopping, enjoying life.
Yeah.
How's that?
That's great. Okay. So when we look back on our friendship, because this whole podcast is what we're doing, we're telling people about friendship. And we're just talking friendship. How
okay.
it works, how we work. What do you remember about our meeting and becoming friends?
I shared with you before, the first time I met you, I did not know you. And it was, gosh, I don't know how many years ago that was, but it was the National Day of Prayer, and the Wilmington House of Prayer was hosting it at the courthouse. And you came in with your, as I recall, you with your guitar, and you were going to play a set, and you knew a number of people there from Dove, and that's the church that I served at. And I was surprised that I didn't know who you were. I think that was the first acquaintance.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So we met at that National Day of Prayer, and then we spent time in ministry together. Somewhere along the way, our hearts connected.
Yes.
I don't and know that I could say when.
I can tell you when it did for me.
Okay.
And I can tell, because of that yours connected earlier than mine did. Not that the timing is important, but
right. But
when you served on the Emmaus Walk, and you agreed, I was in a bind, and we couldn't find anyone to oversee the music, and you volunteered to do it, and which is a big commitment. It's 5 or 6 Saturday meetings, and then a 3-day weekend. There's a lot that was involved. And certainly appreciated it, but didn't really, frankly, appreciate it any more than anybody else who may have volunteered to do something. Until after the walk was over, you made the point that you did that because of our friendship. And then it hit me. It's like, oh my gosh. I mean, Dow really, truly considers me a friend that's worth sacrificing for. And that was eye-opening and heart-wrenching, and it really touched me emotionally. And it's like, yeah, well, okay. If I'm Dow's friend, then he obviously is my friend. You know, that type of a thing. So
okay.
Anyway, yeah, that's when it hit me.
Cool. I don't remember when I was like, I like this guy, I want to be around this guy. And then over time, just, I remember, I mean, we just served together in so many ways. And at some point, it was, if Dave needs me, I'll show up. I'll find a way to show up. Yeah. So.
Yeah, there's been a number of times where you know, I'll be angst about something, and relationship is such that I can share that, and you said, hey, I've got your back. You don't need to worry about it. I'll be there for you. Yeah. That type of thing, and that means a lot.
So when it comes to friendship, what is it you're looking for that makes you say, this person is going to be my friend? Not just, I guess, this person's going to be a friend I'll sacrifice for, I'll give for, I'll show up for.
That's a good question. I would say, Jonathan and David, there it was the covenant, you know, that there's, it's like, okay, if you have a bad day or if you say something that is a little bit offensive or whatever, I'm not going to let that sour the relationship, but we're just going to go on with it because that's life, that type of a thing. And I guess it, probably for me, it's where I'm a person that I'm able to be myself with without feeling that I'm going to be, accused or demeaned or disrespected. If I can just let the front down, let your hair down, and be yourself. Yeah, and you're that. You do that. Yeah.
My brother says you can take off your fig leaf and nobody laughs.
Right. Or yes, judges you. Exactly. Yeah.
Nobody laughs or judges.
Right. There you go. That's a good way to put it.
Here I am, and I'm okay.
All things are naked and open. It's your eyes with him we have to do. So, yeah.
It's weird. You know, in our culture, there's so much around nakedness that becomes a sexual thing. But nakedness is about being intimate and safe. Is really what it is. It's and so that's
open.
Intimacy, yep. That safety that's created where you know.
I'm blessed with scores of close associates. I mean, people that love to hang out with and have some time periodically. But I think, back to your question, I think the real difference is how many people can I really, truly just be open and completely be myself about and know that I'm still going to be accepted and loved, kind of like in spite of me, that type of a thing, rather than having to keep the mask on or, walk around in camouflage. Does that make sense?
Yeah. How do we get there? Because the average guy in America has less than one of those.
Right.
So how do we get there? Because I you probably have more than one.
I do. Yes. Blessed with maybe a couple handfuls.
How do we get
married there? To one? That type of thing. So yeah, as a matter of fact. So yeah.
Yeah. Most of us, a lot of guys, that's true too. I mean, our wives aren't always our friend. It's better when they are.
Yeah.
You guys laugh together and enjoy life together, which is really cool.
It certainly is. I how to get there? I think it's a little bit a step of faith, at least for people of my composition. My makeup. It's a matter of okay, I'm gonna let my guard down, and we're gonna see where this goes. This seems to be a person that that is trustworthy. And you've proven yourself to be that way, and some others have as well. And I don't have a lot of experience of people who have let me down, but I just a little reluctant to take that risk. So I guess it's a step of faith. Let's try this. What do you think?
And my question then would be, what happens when they do mess up, right? Because I think it's not only a step of faith, it's an offering of grace, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Because to get that, you got to give it. You can't just ask for it one way, right? You've got to be the one willing to say as well, if you mess up and you have a bad day and you take your fig leaf off, I'm not going to judge you or laugh at you either. We're going to share that grace. So it's a step of faith and an offering of grace, I guess.
Yeah, culture of grace. I've been blessed to have been reared in a church setting where grace is kind of a predominant characteristic, and that you accept people as they are, where they are, who they are, So I have no issue myself showing grace to others, but I'm also reluctant to require grace of another person towards me. So back to the faith, and let's give this a try.
Let's take a chance.
Yeah, let's do that. So yeah, and I was gonna say that there I've got very few experiences where somebody has just like seriously let me down to cause that, but there's just, it's kind of a safety mechanism. It's kind of, I think, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I think a lot of particularly men tend to be loners, and they stay to themselves, and they're closed, and they're quiet, and I think it's kind of self-protection that way. So.
And how's that working for you?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, you don't have many friends. Yeah, exactly. Not many people come to your funeral, you know, that type of thing.
If I tell you my feelings, then you're going to know me, and then I'm taking a risk. Yeah, it's right. I'm too tough to tell my feelings. Well, it's kind of weak, right? It's stronger to be vulnerable and to say.
And that's Jesus's, he set the example. That was his whole message. The kingdom that he promotes is upside down. You know, it's different than what our natural inclinations are. And so if you're like Jesus, then you're vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know? You're open.
Yeah. Yeah. So you seem to have I have another friend, Dale, we've done his interview. In fact, I think he might be the first one that I publish because I don't have video.
Dale's one of those guys that offends me and I can't get along with, so yeah, I know if it's the same Dale that we're talking about,
you know, really
he's probably one of those few examples that I've got that way. So
he talks about having a low first wall. He'll be your friend, or he'll be friendly.
Yes, there you go.
But to get where we're at, that it's a very high second wall for him.
Yeah,
and
it's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Whereas for me, I guess I'd just rather not have walls, and maybe. I mean, there's truth to the fact that you try to be safe, but like you were saying, what Christ did was he took down his walls and he made himself available to us. So I have trouble not saying, how do I not do that for somebody else? How do I not say, hey, if you hurt me, you hurt me. I'm still going to love you.
Yeah. You're a very outgoing person. I don't know what your profile says as far as how extroverted you are, but you're certainly that side of the scale, gregarious, life of the party type of a thing. And Dale is too, I don't know that it's appropriate to compare you to, but I think Dale maybe is a little bit more guarded and 'cause, you know, maybe in his quiet time, he's quite fine being alone and that type of a thing. I think you require camaraderie and a lot of encouragement that way. And I'm more lean towards Dale, or maybe even beyond Dale that way. When COVID hit, you probably remember me saying this, is like, this is a blessing from God. You mean I'm not allowed for like 2 months, I'm not allowed to be with anybody? This must be heaven, you know? That's the way I'm geared. So the fact that I have someone like you and like Dale that I can really be honest with and have that covenant-type friendship is just so very, very valuable to me. So
same for me, because I know I'm gregarious and I'm outgoing. It's really a front.
Is it?
Yeah. I'd rather be alone.
You ought to be an actor.
I know how to do it, and I found it's valuable. That's the thing, is I found the value of being the first one to take the risk. And so I do it, but I'm not. I can spend hours alone. Now, I won't be mowing my lawn. You'll be mowing your lawn.
With WFCG on my earbuds, yeah.
I'll be doing something else because I hate mowing the lawn, but I can spend hours by myself. But I will say this, there comes a point, no matter how much you like being alone, where you're like, I need some people.
Yes.
What do you think is driving, what do you think drives us to come to that point where I need people?
You know, what was eye-opening for me was the scripture in John 15, where Jesus said that that I have called you friends, and says, you know, you're not a servant, you're a friend. You know, a servant doesn't know his owner's business, but you're a friend. In other words, you know my business. And so there's just the great value and the encouragement and the motivation that's received from networking with somebody else. And you just, frankly, especially this day and time, you need a pat on the back. And sometimes you need a kick in the rear end. And because it is a very, very challenging time. 2024 is a weird place to live, you know. I've been around here for a few years, and believe me, it's nothing like 1960. You know, this is a strange time, and we need one another, and it's challenging because, frankly, friendship is kind of, you face it. You go on Facebook, and you've got 1,500 friends, you know, and this is my BFF, and you've got 100 BFFs.
Right.
It's like it's not really truly a value what our true friend is. They're rare. And I appreciate them.
Yes. Yeah. Why do you think as we get older, sometimes it's harder? I've noticed that as we get away from childhood almost, we lose that ability to just, I guess, be friends and have friends. There's this tendency to, you know, your college friends, and then, you know, you're 20 years down the road and you don't talk to your college friends and you don't, and you're alone. What do you think it is that causes guys to kind of steer down that road where
as you asked the question, I just kind of quickly, and I won't spend any time on this, but I went back to fourth grade when I was living in Troy, Ohio, and the network of friends that I had there. And you know, I had no expectations of those friends. And I didn't have any experience with being hurt by friends. And as time went on, there are those times where, you know, let's face it, there's going to be times you're going to be disappointed where expectations aren't met. It's like, wow, I never knew that she was like that. I never knew that he would respond that way. Wow, you know, the real Joe is coming out now. I had no idea. And there have been times in the past that have been damaged and hurt. So I think, and back to what I was saying before, I think as you grow older, there's more and more of those experiences. And aside from walking in grace, and then a key component is forgiveness. Without grace and forgiveness, I think you tend to really shut down and not trust anybody, because of hurts from the past. So forgive, you know, a culture of grace, a culture of forgiveness, and giving somebody another chance.
So I got a rabbit trail I want to run down here.
Please.
When somebody says something or does something that is harder, meaner, angrier, whatever, it's that part of them that comes out. You made the comment, and I think we all do this, I think it's natural. The real person is now showing up. Why is that the real person and not the other guy who's nice most of the time? Why is the nice guy not the real person? Why is it the bad guy is who we always go, that's the real one, instead of that's the tired one, that's the hurt one, that's the struggle.
That would be a much better perspective, well-rounded and more global way of looking at what's going on there. And I've told people this before, is that you know, I am so concerned that as I continue to grow older, and you know, maybe memory starts to fade and end up in a nursing home or something, and then they say, you can believe what Dave Hinman, he pinched the nurse. Or he let that, I can't believe he said he dropped the F-bomb or something, you know. And then saying, well, that must be the real Dave. He's had a front on forever. And that's not the real Dave.
Right.
You know? But you can have a weak moment, that type of a thing. So back again to grace and just understanding that, people are going to have a bad moment. People are going to have a bad day, bad week, a bad season. And forgive. Forgive. Clean the slate. Let's do this again. Yeah, let's start over.
And this is a lot more about sustaining friendships than the other interviews have been, which is really cool to add that as part of this repertoire. But let me ask you. Somebody, there's a guy right now listening to this, and he's at home. And he said, can...
He's one of the two.
Yeah, he's one of the two guys, right. But he's all alone. He hasn't called us yet to say, yeah. Hey, I need a friend. I
appreciate you, Joe. Yeah.
And he's saying, where do I start? What do I do first? How do I make a friend? What would you tell him?
Well, I would not go to the bar. You can find friends there, but it's going to be based on spirit of alcohol, you know, on the wrong spirit. I think it's finding a safe place, a good Bible-believing church that is serious about relationship and fellowship, that cares about others and shows that by going the extra mile, doing highly unusual good things to help people out, going the extra mile, I think a good Bible believing church would be a great place to start that.
Start.
So small group. Yeah. Well, if you go, I can mention right now a half a dozen churches of 1,000, 1,500 that are within 35 minutes of here. Great churches, you know. But it's really easy to go into that church and leave that church and nobody ever know your name, talking about friends, you know.
Yeah.
But if you have a big church that has small groups, get involved in a small group. Or it doesn't even have to be a big church. There's a lot of churches in the area that have small group meetings, life group meetings through the week, where instead of meeting with 150 other people, where you're just basically a face in the crowd, you have a chance to meet with 7-8 other people and to share your needs and concerns and know that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. It's going to stay in the house, but you can be trust in confidentiality, and you can share, be vulnerable, and share your wounds, your hurts, and know that people are going to care and pray for you. And in addition, someone might even call you up later in the week and say, "How you doing?
Yeah,
yeah, I care about you." You know, yeah, that type of a thing. So,
as we look at our life together, one of the things that's connected us is we've got a group that meets every week. We met this morning.
Yes.
And got to pray together. And we pray together. Now we're serving together in ways like we've never had before. I mean, we've served together before in this event or that event. But what do you find once you're in that group? What do you think is there a secret ingredient to getting somebody to step across the line from showing up to being in? Do you know what I mean? Because we had some new folks there today. And they showed up.
Yes.
And I think they opened up some. But one in particular this morning asked for prayer, you know, for himself first. And his some stuff that he's dealing with and struggling with. Then he went into the church stuff and all the church things he needed. But there was this part of him where he actually, and I wonder, that leaning in like that, how do we help him to go, dude, you're safe. Come on.
going the extra mile. Actually every one of us, we came by invitation from somebody.
Right.
I mean, we don't broadcast this on Facebook and, you know, come one, come all. It's kind of by invitation. Not that it's an exclusive group, but it just happens that way. But then to get together for a cup of coffee, you know, one-on-one, to do something special, I think that's a way to really draw them over that line and to encourage them to be more vulnerable. And you can vulnerability is hinged to the amount of trust that you have in somebody. And it takes time to develop trust. So giving them time. Gotcha. Giving them time, I think.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I think that's one of the things that keeps coming up. Get into a safe space. So that third space. Get into a smaller group. Then go one-on-one. And give time. And friendships, deep friendships, take time.
Yeah.
Because you can offer trust immediately if you want to. But you can't build trust immediately. You have to give time to it. The one interview, Jack, you know Jack. And at some point, I may just have to get everybody locally together. We'll just get around the table.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. But he is the shortest of all my nine that I depend on. If I need somebody and I let you guys know about my nine, he is the one who has the shortest amount of time in with me. It's 8 years.
Okay.
You know, it takes time.
Yeah.
It just takes.
So the least time. Is 8 years. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It just takes time. And so to get here, and to be fair, I think we were there before 8 years. You know, we're in before that because we trusted each other and we've been together to serve things. But it takes time to get in. And then to sustain, you just keep giving more time. Mm-hmm. You just stay in it, right? Yeah. So it's happy for me.
You know, the textbook for men is working projects together, doing something together. Doesn't even have to be conversation. It's repairing a roof together. My computer won't work. Can you come over and help me with that? And that type of thing. Which is contrary to me. I'm a loner. But typically for men, it's working a project. It's doing there's so many great relationships that are built on the golf course. Yeah. Amongst men, women too to some extent, but and it's interesting too. And this is a sidebar. I don't know how long this is allowed to be, but you know, I heard this yesterday. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Said that if you get a group of women together and you put them, in a setting, that they will typically move their chairs to face one another and talk. And guys will stay in their row and kind of look forward and maybe say something. And so I guess it's back to pushing through our comfort zone,
right,
and leaning in towards that brother, and which is easy to do in a project setting. So, yeah.
We seem to do better shoulder to shoulder than eye to eye.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
It's funny because, I've started these fires once a month where I invite guys to come to a fire. And it's amazing to hear.
You've never asked me.
Have I not?
No, you never asked
me. Hey, at the end of this month, we're having a fire.
I'm going to be gone on vacation.
Yeah, you'll be. That's right. That's why. Because every time I have one, you're in Florida. But we're going to have another one at the end of this month. And the last one, it rained. So we came in here, and I have one of those tabletop little fire burners.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's safe, maybe it's not. I don't know. We didn't die of asphyxiation, but but new guy in the group still opened up, was able to share his heart with the other guys in the group because we're not looking at each other. We're looking at a fire.
Yeah.
And so we can open ourselves up.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good boy. Yeah. It's awesome. That's good.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap. I don't know how long.
A long time, I think. So, but thank you. Thank you.
If you go back and you think, Dave, there's something that I need to cut out, you just let me know and we'll go back and we'll take that out. But
I trust you. We're friends. But
it's so funny. Everybody says that. Yeah, I'm an open book. I think I just hang out with open books. I think that's the key. I don't like to do the work. So I just. One last thing you can say to that guy. Who's alone and maybe going to church, but he doesn't have a friend. What do you think? Last, just your advice. What, go do this right now.
Well, this is likely the evangelist in me coming out, but way back in the day, this famous singer Michael W. Smith had this song about a friend is a friend forever. And that's about friendships like this. But there truly is a friend who's a friend forever, and that's God's Son, mm-hmm. who ascended to heaven, seated at God's right hand, and is interceding for us. Mm-hmm. To imagine that God's Son is praying for me, really. So that person, until you can connect with a church, a small group, unless you know, pray, maybe God will bring somebody into your walk, your paths will cross. But Jesus is a friend that you can truly rely on, who will not let you down, who is a covenant partner, will stand with you, and would just encourage you to lean into him.
Awesome. Yeah. So last thing, I know I said that was the last thing, but one more thing. Because in my mind, of all my friends, you're the most pastoral. Will you
really
pray for the guys? Yeah. Wow. Will you pray for the guys listening?
Sure.
Whoever, the two of them.
I would, yeah. I'd be honored, be blessed. Yes, thank you. Father, I'm just grateful for Dow and this opportunity for us to gather for a few minutes and to share hearts with one another. There is great need in the world. The scripture says, John chapter 10, that the enemy, the thief comes to rob and to kill and to destroy. That's our enemy. But that Jesus came to give life and give life in abundance. And the abundant life is truly a life that is lived in camaraderie with other persons. We don't do well as the Lone Ranger. It may be our comfort place, our safe place, but we're better off in network. And I pray, God, for that person listening who is lonely, who needs a friend, that you move to provide that friend. Certainly Jesus, but maybe Jesus with skin on his bones in the here and now. God, somebody who will cross paths and be that friend that's being looked for. We thank you, God, and we give this to you, asking your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you. Friendship is hard. It takes intentionality. But with intentionality, it becomes a joy and a strength in your life. So listen, let's be friends.